Okay, good to go. Okay, welcome to the first NIS seminar of the fall semester 2017. I'm happy to see such a great turn-up, and I'm quite sure Vivek is also. He didn't make any additional pressure to...
No,
on pressure anyway. No problem. You would handle any crowd, I'm quite sure. The topic for today is challenges and opportunities in sharing information security knowledge. These are the results from CCIS-funded project called UNRISC, that I think Vivek will tell us more about, and today's talker. Vivek, the floor is yours.
Okay.
We encourage questions during the presentation, and afterwards there will also be some time for questions.
Yep.
There is a tiny little prize. It's the last prize that we had in stock, but it's a tiny little prize for the best student question. So, yeah, keep asking questions.
Okay, thank you so much, Nils. Am I audible? Yeah, okay. So before I proceed, I would like to know my audience a bit because I can see a lot of new faces here. So may I know if there's anyone from the bachelor's level here? Oh, okay. Great. From master's? Okay. And I know PhD, professor, and yeah, okay.
Only the bachelor's do not know the
Yeah.
PhD,
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So as I can say that the number of the bachelor student is maximum here. Are they all from information security background? Or do we have anyone besides information security? No. Okay, perfect. So my name is Vivek Agrawal, and I'm a PhD student here. And since January 2016, I have been working on a project that is partially funded by CCIS, but I started my PhD here in January 2014. So my area of specialization is mainly related to risk management, information security sharing, risk analysis, and all those things. So in today's seminar, I'm going to talk about the project UNRISC Now that I started in January 2016, and I'll basically discuss the findings of the project. So we know that we always need to have access to some kind of knowledge in order to carry out our work. So when we get any assignment, when we have to learn something, we need certain knowledge, certain information in order to carry out that. And there are few sources that we usually use in order to that to achieve this thing. We usually ask our professor, we ask our colleague, and but beyond that, we have to sometimes go beyond that level, and we need to ask the questions, and we need to discuss with our colleagues or someone who is outside that community. And when I started this project UNRISC Now, we observed that the information security professionals working in Norway, mainly in industry, in mid-size, small and large-size enterprise, they face many challenges in their domain, in their area. And they like to discuss with each other to get the solution, to get to solve the problem, and they mainly do it by discussing it offline. That is, they arrange the meeting, and that is the offline meeting, face-to-face meeting. And they also have some kind of electronic platform in their company, but that is very restricted to the internal employees. So I can say that there's no open, or there's a lack of open platform, electronic platform, where they can discuss with each other and try to solve the problem of each other. So when I went through different electronic medium that is available on internet, so let's see, this is a forum from LinkedIn Risk Analysis. When I captured the screenshot, it was having more than 1,200 members. But the problem that I saw on these electronic forum or platform is that either the information is very old or there is not a particular or frequent post available that will help you to get the updated version of the knowledge. Or sometimes the people just post that is very irrelevant to the community. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't provide any proper knowledge in the area of information security or anything. So the main challenges that are associated with the available information on the knowledge is that either the information is very fragmented. So it's very difficult to get the collected information. So you are looking for a solution of your problem, but there's no way that you can collect the information at a particular place, or either the information is very outdated. So even if you have the solution, but it's very difficult for you to apply to your recent problem because the solution is very outdated. Or it is very difficult to find. Maybe the electronic community that is available will not have a particular or proper feature so that you can find the information that you are looking for. Or even if you find the information, it is sometimes less relevant to the problem that you are facing right now. Or maybe the information that is available, you cannot rely on the source. So you cannot trust the information. Maybe someone is just posting something because they have some internal incentive for doing that. So we started this project Unrisk Now, where we found that the information security professionals face many problems in their domain in information security. And if we have a proper sharing of knowledge and if we can reuse the existing knowledge, then we can make the status of the security, we can enhance the present status of the security, and we can also help them to do their job. So when I talked to the people who are working in industry, they said that they often do it alone. I mean, if let's say someone is working in Capgemini, someone is working in Accenture or IBM or Dell, so they often face the same problem. But if they try to solve all the challenges by themselves, then it makes the whole process very inefficient. So that's why it's very necessary that they should collaborate with each other. They just try to share the problem with each other and get a common solution. So that's why we aim to establish an open online community of practice for information security professionals in Norway in this project. Before I proceed, I'd like to tell you that what is a community of practice. Maybe you are already aware of that, but maybe most of the people are not aware of this term. So a community of practice consists of a group of people who share a concern for something they do and learn how to do it better as they interact regularly. So the idea of community of practice is very old, but this term came into existence in early 90s when this researcher Wenger proposed this term. And any community of practice consists of three essential elements. The first one is domain. A domain of knowledge creates common ground. It inspires members to participate and it guides their learning and gives meaning to their action. The second is the community. It creates the notion that is, it's a social fabric for learning, and and any strong community fosters interaction and it encourages a willingness to share ideas among the members. The third one is the practice. So while the domain provides the general idea of interest for the community, the practice is the specific focus which the community develops, shares, and maintains its core of knowledge. So and any community of practice, or when the idea of community of practice started in 90s, it was all about the traditional community of practice, like the offline community of practice. So people used to meet each other. They had a meeting, let's say, once in a week, once in a month, and where they would share their ideas and share their problem and learn more. But that has a very major limitation, because when you have this offline community of practice, the members can only participate if they are co-located at the same place. Okay, so the time zone, location, and the affiliation can create the limitation for the members. So that's why people started, and with the capability of information technology, people started to include the features of internet into this one, and that's why they started this electronic community of practice, so that people who are located in a different place, different time zone, can also participate in the knowledge sharing task. So in case of UNRISC now, if I just try to map these three elements, the domain, community, and practice. So the domain is information security. That is the shared expertise, the key issues, the members, the information security professionals face in their day-to-day life. The community will consist of the practitioners in Norway. We started this project with a very narrow scope. I can say that we started with only the practitioners who are working in Norway, and we aim to create the community for them first, and if it succeeds, then we just try to extend it to other to other practitioners as well. So the community is largely dependent on the willingness to share the knowledge with each other, and it also needs the regular interaction. And the practice will involve the discussion of the challenges that they face, the mitigation plan, the development of the tool or process or method or anything. And when I say information security knowledge in this one, so information security knowledge refers to all intelligible ideas, information, and data in whatever form it is available or expressed and obtained in the field of information security. So an information security knowledge is required by these professionals to carry out their regular task. And this knowledge can be the knowledge about the security incident, the knowledge about the threat that they face, the vulnerability, mitigation. It can be something that is related to the best practices in their domain, or it can be something, the strategic analysis. So this knowledge can be anything that is required by the professionals to carry out their work and the problems that they face in their day-to-day task. So in this study, we formulated a few research questions, and we designed our approach based on the findings of the answer of these questions. So the first question that we started is we just started to understand that what are the theories that define the knowledge sharing behavior of the participants on such online community or in this setting. So because whenever we talk about the knowledge sharing task, there are many challenges associated with that. People share knowledge, but it is something that is the intentional or voluntary work, I can say that. So some people have some reluctance to share the knowledge, and they perceive the consequence of sharing the knowledge in a very different way. So the idea of learning the knowledge sharing behavior was to understand that if there's any theory that define or help scientific theory that helps us to understand that why do people share or not share in such setting. And secondly, we try to understand that what are the incentives of sharing information security knowledge on electronic community of practice, and what are the risks that are available or it can generate due to the conflict in the incentive of the stakeholder, and what are the factors that influence the willingness of the professionals working in Norway to share their knowledge in the open community of practice. And to what extent the information security professionals in Norway use electronic community of practice to share the knowledge. So if you have any question, just let me know. Yes, sure.
How is this supposed to help in the bigger picture? I mean, if you share defensive mechanisms, and if you have no control for people who can attend this resource, I mean, how is it better than just to drop in?
Sorry? Oh, yeah.
If you just drop into the... what was this?
It's a mic. Yeah. How is this different from just dropping into the open hacker communities where they discuss the latest way to hack stuff. How is it different? How is this gonna counterweight those people if someone makes the same thing but just another polarity of defense? It can be used for offense. So I mean, but by this, you're just saying to everyone, okay, so we know how to defend against this, this, and this. So in this way, you can kind of keep the attacker updated on your awareness of the systems. So I mean, logically, it's supposed this kind of knowledge should not be shared because this is defense knowledge. But if you know the mechanisms of defense, it can be used to in order to offend. So it's kind of helping the guys for offense. And online communities exist already, but it's almost like hacking. So why not just to analyze existing hacking communities? And the biggest one are the most progressive ones, always.
Yeah, thanks for the question. So that's why I used a very specific term called community of practice, because community of practice is something that is different from any other online community that you see on LinkedIn or Facebook or other forum. Because it's very easy for you to just go and join the community, and that's why you can have both the attacker and someone who designs the security policy on something. And that might create the problem because the person who is sharing the information can be exploited in some other way. But in case of community of practice, it's a very specific community that is designed for the people who work in the same sector, same area. And for any community of practice, there's a strong requirement of certain level of trust among the member. So when there's also a moderator or the organizer or the facilitator of this community of practice, and when they allow any member to join such community, they try to evaluate that how or why this person is a suitable member of this community. Okay, in this way, they just try to maintain the membership of this community. Secondly, you asked that why we should not go and evaluate the knowledge that is already existing in the community, right? So we can always do that, but maybe that knowledge or the information that is available there, it's not relevant for my problem. Okay, so that's why the aim of this community. So. Before going to establish a community of practice for the information security professionals in Norway, we just try to evaluate that what are the things that are important for them. Why do they share? Why don't they share? And how they want the information to be available and what are their preferences? And when I talked to them, I found that they are saying that information is available. Let's say you are checking a community of practice or any online community that is like a global community. And when people define a mechanism that can be highly dependent on the law and regulation of that country, right? So it might be applicable, it might not be applicable for the law or the rule that is available in Norway. So there can be information available there, but they cannot readily apply into that one. So that's why when we started this project, we thought that, okay, if we just narrow down or if we restrict the members only to Norway, or the information security professionals working in Norway, then we can deal with such problems when people have the information but they cannot apply it because the information is coming, it's from a different source or it's from a different country or it's completely different, that is, they cannot apply to it. So that's why that was the main of this project when we started it. And as you said that there's always a potential that people can join this community and they can exploit the information and they can reuse it for the negative purpose. So in such community of practice, they also have the very strong policy of the reusability of the information, that how they are going to use the information and what is the privacy policy available there. So there you also need to define the scale of the sensitivity of the information. So maybe if there's information that is very sensitive, that can only be shared among a specific group of the member of that community. It cannot be visible, it cannot be disseminated to all the members that are present there, because maybe we cannot trust them that how they are going to reuse it. So that's why a well-established community of practice take care of all these issues. But I agree that it's a... it's a great challenge to address all such issues in a community of practice, especially the community of practice that is very new, because it needs time to make it more to mature enough. Any other question?
Just a follow-up question for this. You have two research questions, research question 4 and 5, that addresses some of the issues that were raised here. I'm not sure if you're going into it, but do you know the status of the current status in Norway regarding participating in these kind of communities? Because this is skepticism. This is something new. This is something we have not shared before. Do you know the current status in Norway? Have you come so far in your research questions?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to talk about it very shortly. So in order to find the answers of these questions, we adopted a few well-known research methodology. We used design science research methodology in our project, DSRM. We also used online questionnaire survey method. We also conducted experiment, and we also used a case study to carry out the research. Maybe I can skip this. Okay, so in the very beginning of this project, when we were just trying to learn about the information sharing, knowledge sharing behavior, we conducted a small experiment with the information security students, the bachelor students of NTNU, and they were doing a course called IMT 1132, where they were given assignment of using ISO 27005 risk management standard into different case studies. And in order to understand their knowledge sharing behavior, we developed an electronic community of practice for them, and we advised them to use this community to solve their assignment, to share the knowledge with each other within the group and outside the group also, and with the person who was the course responsible. So Gautey was responsible for this course, and he was teaching it. So we developed this community such a way that people can, or the students can, interact with them regularly. And we monitored their sharing behavior for 6 weeks to understand that what are the things that they share, or they feel comfortable, or they don't want to share. When we were collecting the data, we had some hypothesis in the mind. We were thinking that as they are information security students, so maybe they are more concerned about the sensitivity or the confidentiality of their information. And it's a kind of competition, I can say that, because they were given assignment in a different group. So maybe they will not share information that can help the other group in order to get, let's say, a better grade. So, but this is the snapshot of the community of practice that we used to share the information and to monitor their behavior. And after that, we found that there were influence of very interesting theories, psychological theories and knowledge sharing behavior theories that happened in this study. Most of the students were reluctant to share the information because they were not sure that if they are going to help the other members or not. And they were thinking that it might mislead them in their project. So when we asked them about the confidentiality and the sensitivity, or if they are afraid of that one, they said that the main reason that they were not sharing much because they were not sure that if the things that they are sharing is highly relevant to the other members or not. And that is something very common in any community of practice where you do not have very expert level members. When you have this beginner level members, and they always have this kind of challenge that they face. And apart from that, we also found the influence of social exchange theory. And this theory states that whenever we try to share the knowledge or information with others, we always calculate the ratio of the benefit to the cost. And when we find that the ratio of benefit to the cost is more, then it gives, or it influences us to share more. So it means that the cost is your effort and time, because when you are sharing, when you are participating, you are investing your time, your effort to do that. But if you are not getting quality information from the other members on the community, then it doesn't really help you to do that. And that is something that happened in this community with the students of bachelor's. And so in this one, though we didn't conduct this study with actual information security practitioners, but having this small experiment with the students gave us some idea about the important theories that are very relevant in this study and that might be useful when we would actually involve the information security professionals in the study. And after that, we try to solve the questions that what are the incentives of sharing information security knowledge on electronic community of practice, and what are the risks involved in that due to the conflicting incentive of the stakeholder. So in this study, we applied a risk analysis method called CIRA, that is conflicting incentives risk analysis. I'm not going to tell the detail of this method because I think it will consume most of my time. But this method is a new kind of risk analysis method where instead of considering the probability and the consequence that you normally do in like ISO 27005 or COBIT or ISACA or other things, we try to understand the human factor, that what are the risks that can generate because of the different in the way we perceive the incentive of doing some action. So let's say if there's a scenario where two people are involved, and in that case, someone can perform some strategy that can create some problem for the other member. And so this problem can be generated by taking a wrong or the right action of this person, but the problem that will happen to the other person, and that will create a risk in the system. So in this study, we applied the concept of this CIRA method, and we analyzed the risk, and after that, we found that if there's any community of practice where there are members and the organizer, and if the organizer is given a chance to perform certain strategy in the system, then it can create some problem for the member also. And what are the risks that can be generated in such scenario, and what will be the consequence of that one? So this is a table that we developed based on that study. Maybe I'll skip that one. It will take much of my time to discuss it. In this study, we studied the factors that influence the willingness of the professionals working in Norway to share their knowledge in the open community of practice. The aim of this study was to understand that what are the different factors that can motivate or demotivate the professionals in Norway to share their knowledge on such community of practice. And we adopted the online questionnaire based approach to get the answer, and we distributed the questionnaire to the different professionals working in Norway through different channel. We also took the help of NORSIS to distribute our survey. We also used NTNU internal channel INSIDA to distribute it. And after that, we analyzed the response in IBM SPSS tool. So there are a few factors that we found very important. And when it comes to the willingness to share knowledge on electronic community of practice, open electronic community of practice, the first one is the trust with the recipient. So people share more or they tend to share more if they have some trust with the recipient. Maybe if they know the true identity of the member whom they are dealing with, if they know the person personally, then it creates a high motivation to share the knowledge. They are also willing to share information or knowledge in face-to-face setting. So it means that they are more comfortable when they have this face-to-face meeting, and when they can understand and when they can see that whom they are actually sharing the knowledge with. And also having a privacy policy that how this information, the sensitive information, is going to be used and how the members are going to utilize the information outside the community. And they also need some strong incentive for sharing. And now the incentive can be something that is both intrinsic or extrinsic incentive. So it means that people tend to share more or share their knowledge more if they know that they are going to get good quality knowledge in return. So, but we also try to understand that if they are also looking for some extrinsic motivation, it means that maybe some monetary benefit or some types of reward or something. But we found that they are mainly looking for intrinsic motivation, intrinsic incentive. That is, they are looking for good quality knowledge, good quality information that they can that can help them to share to solve their challenges, solve their problem. There are also some barriers to share the knowledge. It is like people. Yes. This one.
You talked about more or less the top ones and not the bottom ones.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Having an online platform actually goes way against face-to-face settings and anonymity also. So how do you...
Right. Okay. So... So when we asked this factor to the information security professionals, they gave very high priority. So the trust with the recipient face-to-face setting, it got very high score. But having an online platform and anonymity got very low score. It means that it doesn't really help them to increase the willingness. And so previously we had this idea in our mind that maybe the anonymity can help them. So sometimes it's very comfortable for us that if we can share the knowledge in an anonymous way, that we don't want to reveal our true identity. Okay. But in this survey, we found that people are not willing to share the knowledge anonymously. Secondly, they are not going to rely on the knowledge that they receive in an anonymous manner. They want to know the true identity, and they also want to express their identity to the member who are dealing with. And that's why this face-to-face setting is more important for them. Yeah.
Okay, so this list is prioritized according to the results?
Yes.
Okay, so if having an online, if I understand correctly, the overall goal is to see how an online community of practice would help, would facilitate sharing knowledge. And having an online platform end up second to the last. Can you give me how much it got, the percentage?
Okay, I don't remember the percentage, but it received very low score. The reason is that, as I told you, that people in Norway, they participate in this knowledge sharing task, but they do it in a very offline manner. So we have ISAKA, we have ISF, we have Secret Stockmata arranged by Norsis, and they all have this face-to-face setting. Okay, and they believe that they are more comfortable or they receive good quality knowledge when they meet in person and when they share the information with each other. There's something I also like to add here, that there's a meeting called Secret Stop Mata arranged by Norsis, and they always follow a policy called Chatham House policy. Yeah, so do you know about Chatham House rule? Okay, very few people. Okay, Chatham House policy says that you are open, you are free to discuss anything in the closed room, but when you go outside, you are free to use the information, but you cannot associate the identity of the person who shared the information. It means that it creates or it gives you certain level of assurance from the people that you can share the information freely, but we are not going to use your name. So that's why, because previously people were not eager to share some sensitive information with each other, because they knew that people can misuse it, or maybe they can use it, but they can also associate the name of this one, and that person can face some consequence, okay, of sharing this. So that's why, yeah.
Can I follow up?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have these findings, and I mean, the starting point is to create a... to create an online community of practice. And you end up with this result that the practitioners actually say that having that will not influence anything. So did that shape or change the scope of your research from this point on?
No. So that's why we learned from this finding that they are not eager to have online community of practice, right? This is something. But when we understood that, okay, they don't want to have it, then the next question is, why don't they want to have it? Okay, so it means that are they, because there's always some opportunity cost associated with that. Maybe they are not aware of the significance of online community of practice, and they are more comfortable in offline. And that's why they are thinking that, well, if we have online community, then maybe, because the next slide, that is the barrier, it says that sensitive information, concern about the privacy, these are the main factors. And they know that when they have online community of practice, it is very difficult to deal with such issues. You have to have a very strong mechanism to deal with or securing the sensitive information and also have a privacy policy. Because in case of Sikrest Topmata, when they applied its Chatham House rule, they also don't allow any journalist or anyone to enter into the room. So when you have this offline setting, it's very easy to control this sensitive information. Okay, you can just close the door, you can just take all phones and everything outside, and then you can create some kind of mechanism, right? But in case of electronic, when you go to internet, it becomes very difficult to secure such things. And that's why they are more concerned about the securing their sensitive information, and they are thinking that maybe people can use this information in a wrong way, as he pointed out. So that's why they believe, and according to the experience, when they participated in online community, maybe the community was not mature enough, as I showed you on LinkedIn and other areas. So they, according to their experience, they said that, well, they participate, but they do not receive any good quality knowledge or information from the other members. And that's why they believe that when they have this face-to-face setting, maybe it will be having only a meeting between 20 to 25 people, member, but at that time they can receive a good quality information. But when we received this information, when we got these findings, the next thing we tried to understand that, okay, it means that they are not getting, or they are, the, this existing online community is not meeting their expectation, right? That's why they believe that they are more comfortable with face-to-face meeting, face-to-face knowledge sharing method. And that's why we also need to design the incentive scheme in such a way that they get more benefit out of it. Yeah.
Like in general, what are the authentication premise? Like you say, we have to be sure who you are. Like what are you gonna say? Send us a scan of your passport or what?
No.
How are you gonna secure how you know that the person that presents himself is really if it's on the internet?
Yeah, exactly. It's a good question. So, in case of authentication, we can always go for very secure technical way, as you said, that scanning of passport and other things. But normally, when there's a very small community of practice, then the people or the member needs to contact the community, the person who is responsible to organize this community, the organizer. They need to go there in person, and then the person decides that, okay, this person works for this company, he has this affiliation, this, and after that they make the registration to the electronic community or the community of practice. But this challenge is more important when we have a very big community of practice and when we are involving people from everywhere, and it's not possible for the person to actually contact the organizer in that case. So yeah, maybe we actually haven't approached to that step where we need to design this kind of authentication mechanism, because we are still restricting the community to the information security professionals in Norway and a small community. And secondly, at this stage, we are learning the preferences of the member, the factors that affect them to share the knowledge or not, or the things that they really expect in the community of practice when it comes to the utilization of the knowledge and the knowledge that they share.
And who is the target audience? Like people from what kind of businesses? Like is it from, I mean, how far is it going, the infrastructure? Because if you say if it's going to include the people working in healthcare security information or bigger companies, it makes this community a target. If this community kind of shares the defensive mechanisms or their practitioners of defensive mechanism, it makes it a target for people. Let's say if a big economy company from Norway, because in Norway there's a lot of money going, right? So it can be a target for hacking. It has a value.
Yeah.
It has a reason to hack it. So, I mean, if you make something like this, if you cluster a lot of defensive mechanisms in one, it makes its target. Like, so then the higher you go, and it really relies on what kind of professionals are going to take a part. If it's just bachelors, like guys learning, it doesn't really need a high security system. But right away, when it evolves, represented from a big company who has a responsibility to keeping up it up to date, like, why would he, you know, share? Because he makes himself a target. If there's going to be some leaks, I mean, how far? What's the point? Or like, at what level is it? Yeah. Is it like an alpha version of study? You're making performing a social studying, or is this is more application for businesses or for government? You know, like big infrastructures, like I don't know, like police or healthcare or insurance companies. Okay. Because the defensive mechanism, everyone has a defensive mechanism, and when people start sharing defensive mechanism is a compromise. Like if you build a fortress, you're not going to share with everyone where you have the traps because it's going to compromise.
Yeah,
so that's my question.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it's a very
tough audience today. There's 5 minutes left, so you have to answer and then find a way to kind of lead us towards 1 o'clock.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you so much for your question. It's a very good question. And so I can say that at this point of time, we are, our aim is to involve all the information security professionals working in Norway. It doesn't matter which organization they are associated to, but we are mainly targeting people working in mid-size and large enterprise, okay? But the problems that you mentioned, it's very much relevant to this, to any community of practice or when it comes to the knowledge sharing method. So right now we are working on understanding the theories that are associated with knowledge sharing and understanding the requirement, understanding the feeling of the information security professionals, that how much they are eager to share, how much they are eager to participate in such knowledge sharing tasks. If they are already engaged in such knowledge sharing task, or if they are not, then what are the factors that are motivating or demotivating them? But as you pointed out about the healthcare sector, and when we started building this community of practice or understanding the concept of it, we started with this information security professionals. But our long-term aim is to involve this healthcare sector, maybe defense. But yeah, it depends on the mechanism, the security mechanism, the policy that we provide in the community, that how much, to what extent the people can share there, what will the maturity level of the knowledge reservoir or the repository that is available. But at this point of time, we are not so much dealing with such issues we are not considering the hacking part. We are more concerned about that if people are ready to share or not, or if what are the things that they don't want to share, and how can we make them to share them to share such information by providing a mature incentive scheme, mature incentive, so that they can get something beneficial when they share their knowledge on such community.
And you have 2 minutes, but you might have more slides.
I don't know. Yeah. Similarly, we in our next study, we understood that what are the factors that affect the participation on electronic community of practice. And in this one also, we conducted an online survey with the ISF members. So we actually approached them in their meeting that took place in Oslo Nobel Peace Center, and we conducted an online questionnaire with them for 15 minutes. And after that, we collected data and understood that what are the factors that are associated with the participation of the information security professionals on electronic community of practice. And we found that people who are working in large organizations, big enterprise, and mid and large enterprise, they are participating more on knowledge sharing tasks. But those who are working in small enterprise, they are not so much participating. The number of hours that they spent on information security tasks, so people, those who work for part-time, full-time, even more. I met people who work more than 40 hours per week on information security tasks. So people who work more in this area, they do not participate much because they say that they don't have time to, they don't have enough time to participate in knowledge sharing tasks on electronic community. They just try to gather the knowledge that is readily available in their organization through the meeting or the seminar or the presentation that they attend. And similarly, we also try to understand that what is the nature of the task that they perform in their organization. And people, so the people who whose task is somehow related to helping others to do their job, so maybe they design the policy or they make mechanism that can help the other colleagues or other organization to carry out their task, they participate more on knowledge sharing activity on community of practice. So these are the findings that will be useful for us when we will establish this community of practice, because at that point of time we'll understand that, okay, which audience is actually participating and which audience is not. And in this way we can design the sharing rules or the incentive mechanism for both the audience, keeping in mind that, okay, this kind of population participate or this kind of population do not participate in such things. And in the current study we conducted survey with the ISACA members in Oslo, and the aim of this survey was to understand their preferences when it comes to share the knowledge on community of practice. And these findings will help us to actually design the features of our community. So like the more technical features, if they want the anonymity, if they want, or how they want the content to be rated by them. So if they have more strong opinion on the content that is validated by the other professionals, or what are the mechanism that they want to have it. So this is the aim of this study. And
I think we'll have to round off.
Yeah, okay. So I can say that the summary of the findings from the study that we conducted is that intrinsic motivation is more important than extrinsic motivation. It means that people want good quality knowledge, not the some monetary reward when it comes to knowledge sharing. Anonymity is not a solution for them because they want to see the true identity. There is no obstacle from the organization on their job role when it comes to knowledge sharing task. There's also a lack of open electronic community of practice. And people are mainly concerned about handling of the sensitive information in the community, outside the community, when they share the knowledge in that. So I'd like to conclude my presentation here. I know that you will be having a lot of questions. So maybe you can contact me on my email ID. You can meet me at A108. We can discuss more about it. Or you can also send me a message.
Thank you. Yvette.
Thank you.
So we're a bit tight of time. A few comments towards the end. I hope that this show a little bit the exposure that our researcher has, and that they are available discussion partners for you who have not been here before. You were not quite saying ISF, that's the Information Security Forum in Norway.
Yeah.
They have a conference with about 300 participants, I think, every year, and they have regular events where one can look at how to join that. And then ISACA, for those who doesn't know, this is Information Security Assurance. Which is a similar association with a whole bunch of other information security professionals.
Yeah.
And this is a phase of exposure that our staff has against the community in Norway, and then they bring this back to you. That's one message. And then you already said that we're ready available for discussions and questions and so forth. We won't be able to take many more of those now. So that was one thing. And then one thing for the book. You mentioned Sikkerhetstoppmøte as a community of practice. That's actually organized by NTNU and NorSIS.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, so that's, we have to take credit for what we can. And I promised a prize for the best student question. Now, there was not many students asking questions, so it's actually for the most active student during the talk. There you are. Thank you. Yeah. And that's pretty much it. We gather again for a seminar next week on the Friday. The name of the speaker will be a secret for a little bit longer, but we will be here for another talk next week. So on that, have a great weekend. See you again then. It's quite difficult.